Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. He doesn't always play nice. And that's what gets you the information you need. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tomorrow will be the Toronto Blue Jays annual State of the Franchise function. That's where manager John Gibbons, general manager Alex Anthopoulos, and president Paul Beeston address season's ticket holders. We'll be live streaming that on sportsnet.ca. And we'll have Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays, in studio with us for an hour tomorrow from 10 to 11. The hour of Howarth returneth. The hour of Howarth returneth. It's getting close to pitchers and catchers reporting, folks. Getting very, very, very close. We'll be joined, by the way, at 11:15 by Cliff Corcoran, MLB writer for SI.com. He has just released his winter report card in the Toronto Blue Jays. Gives the Blue Jays a B+ for their additions of Josh Donaldson and Russell Martin, Michael Saunders as well, and of course losing Melky Cabrera, and Casey Jansen, Adam Lind, Brandon Morrow, all gone. And I think most people around baseball look at the acquisition of Russell Martin as being absolutely huge for the Blue Jays, a take charge guy behind the plate, a good defensive player, very agile catcher, good pitch framer, all that good stuff. If you've got a staff of young pitchers, some of whom are going to be bouncing the ball in the dirt, it's going to be awfully nice to have a guy like Russell Martin behind the plate. And, of course, you know about Josh Donaldson as an upgrade over Brett Laurie at third. So we'll talk to Cliff Corcoran about that. We'll take your calls on how you would grade the Jays' offseason so far. Most of us still agree that the bullpen needs some finishing pieces. I'm not certain too many of us expect to see anything of substance in that regard, unless Alex Anthopoulos has something up his sleeve. So we'll take your calls at 11:30, get your off-season grade on the Toronto Blue Jays. One team that was very active this off-season, and in kind of an interesting fashion, because in bringing in Andrew Friedman, I think for the longest time we just assumed that the Dodgers, with their ownership, were just going to be spending money and bringing everybody in, and you know, money would be no object. I mean, they're certainly not, you're certainly not going to have to hold a tag day for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but there appears to be a difference in approach under Andrew Friedman. Still some significant acquisitions: Jimmy Rollins, Yasmani Grandal, Howie Kendrick, a player that the Jays have always, always liked. I can remember Cito Gaston sitting in the dugout and spending half an hour talking about Howie Kendrick one day to myself and a couple of other writers, Brandon McCarthy, Brett Anderson, also joining the team. I mean, a lot of people like the additions the Dodgers have made. The National League West is, it's a hectic division. You've got the Giants. You've got the Padres, who are making some moves as well. So it was kind of interesting when Zach Greinke on the weekend showed up to Dodgers Fan Fest. And I don't know if lukewarm would necessarily be the word I would use, but he certainly wasn't predicting boldly that the Dodgers' makeover had necessarily, in his mind, brought the team closer to a pennant. It was an interesting conversation, especially considering that he is, Zach Greinke, is able to opt out of his contract this year, which would leave 3 years, $71 million on the table. Now, next year's free agent class includes pitchers like David Price, Jordan Zimmerman, and Johnny Cueto. So it's not a razor, or it's not a thin free agent class. A lot of people seem to think that the big player here and something that may determine whether Zach Greinke makes his move is David Price. Some talk the Detroit Tigers may try to re-sign David Price. If David Price is off the market, then all of a sudden there's a slot open there for Zach Greinke. That's just from a distance, though. Bill Shaken is a national baseball writer for the Los Angeles Times. His Twitter handle is at Bill Shaken. Let's ask Bill Shaken about Zach Greinke's comments and what his intentions may be. Bill, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
What do you think? Let's talk first of all about Zach Greinke's reaction in your article and other articles to the Dodgers offseason makeover. What did you make of those reactions? Because it's like anything else. You know Zach Greinke more than we do, so you know how to parse words or read body language on that. We clearly don't. But I said from a distance, it was kind of meh, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's kind of refreshing. I mean, Zach is, we call him the last honest man in baseball. You know, so many guys, whether it's their nature or maybe some media coaching, don't really want to say much of anything about what they honestly feel. Everything's great. I trust the manager. I want to do what's best for the team. And really what Zach is saying here is what a lot of fans in Los Angeles are thinking. You know, Dodgers had a pretty good team last year, and a couple bad innings against the Cardinals in the playoffs, but they won 94 games. They beat the Giants by 6 games. And now the front office is taking a sledgehammer to that. To say that the Dodgers are better, you know, can't say that right now. Maybe. Can't see it now.
What I like about his comments is kind of, I think, a reminder to a lot of us, this idea that, well, if we want to change culture, and, you know, this is what we're going through with the Toronto Maple Leafs, if we want to change culture, it's just a matter of getting rid of guys and bringing new guys in. And Zach Greinke's, you know, his comment that I really liked is, you know, when you change a team a lot, sometimes it takes a year or a couple of months to gel. It doesn't matter if you bring in the greatest guys in the world. It takes a little time to get used to them. That's something you don't often hear, but that's true.
Sure, the Dodgers know that better than anybody, because when the new ownership came in with all their deep pockets in the middle of the 2012 season, and then toward the end of it, they made that huge trade with Boston where Adrian Gonzalez came in and Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett, and they had earlier made a trade for Hanley Ramirez, and then Brandon Lee comes down from Seattle, and all of a sudden you got a third of a new clubhouse, and they thought they were going to steamroll a division. They didn't win. It does take time.
Bill, how is this team going to make up for the lack of offense without Kemp, Matt Kemp, and Hanley Ramirez? I mean, I looking at Jimmy Rollins, Howie Kendrick, again, the guy the Jays have loved seemingly forever, you would think this is probably a better defensive team. Jock Peterson, the center field, makes them a little bit better defensively. Is there enough offense in this team?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, the argument I think the fans were making, especially with the Matt Kemp trade, is the Dodgers just traded a guy who was arguably the best offensive player in the National League in the second half for a catcher in Grandal at 225. And that does make us better. But what Andrew Friedman is saying is, yeah, we might not be as good offensively as we were, but saving a run is just as good as scoring a run. And we're better at catcher. We're better at shortstop. We're better at second base. We're better in center field. Defensively, that's going to help the pitching. As everyone knows, Dodger Stadium is a pitcher's park, and we think we'll be better off that way. That's what he would say.
Jock Peterson is a guy we're going to be hearing a lot of this year. Obviously a highly touted player, highly touted prospect. I guess beyond a prospect now, he's going to be a major leaguer. What can you tell us about him as a player?
He was the first 30-30 guy last year in the Pacific Coast League in half a century. The Dodgers coaching staff actually wanted him playing center field last year because defensively it was just a parade of guys who didn't really fit well, whether it was Yasiel Puig or Andre Ethier or Matt Kemp. If you're going to have a pitching-dominated team and a pitching-dominated ballpark, you want the best defense you can get. And Peterson was the guy the Dodgers coaches wanted last year, and he's going to get every chance to be that guy this year.
What do you think Puig's read in all this is, this turnover in the clubhouse?
Well, he's still there, so he's happy with that. He was the one guy when Andrew Friedman came in that the owner said, you know, he's not going anywhere. And if you read between the lines of the moves that they made in terms of changing the clubhouse chemistry, if they had gotten a good offer for Puig, I think Friedman would have considered it had he been allowed to, but that wasn't on the table.
Bill Shaken of the LA Times in conversation with us on the Jeff Blair Show. So what do you think Zach Greinke does? He's got 3 years, or if he were to opt out, he'd leave, I believe, 3 years, $70, $71 million on the table. A, that's a lot of money to leave on the table. But do you get the sense that Zach Greinke's the type of guy that may kind of take the temperature of the marketplace, take the temperature of the Dodgers, and use that to make his decision up? Or do you think that he might be the type of guy that'll just clear it up in spring training and say, look, this is not on right now?
What he told me last year was he wanted to see how the market went this winter. He said, look, I'm not Clayton Kershaw, I know that. But John Lester, Max Scherzer, they're going to be out there. They're pretty good pitchers. I think I'm pretty good. Let me see how they do. Well, obviously, they did great. One of them got $210 million, and the other one got $155 million. So I think based on that, if Greinke has a good season, I think he would opt out. But as you alluded to earlier, it's going to be a pretty crowded market if all those guys that are top pitchers actually make it to the market, whether it's Price or Samardzija or Cueto. There's a ton of guys out there that could be really good pitchers. Jordan Zimmermann, you mentioned, and that would crowd the market. The trouble for Greinke is if he doesn't go next year, he can't be a free agent until he's 35.
Right.
Nobody's going to be signing 35-year-old guys for big bucks.
Is he the type of guy that, this is going to sound funny to ask this, but is he the type of guy that needs to be happy in his environment? You know, there are guys who will say, hey, I'm making good money. Eh, it's not great, but the team's competitive. We got a shot at winning, and yeah, I'm making good money. I'll make this work. Is Zach the type of guy that needs to be really, really comfortable in that the environment that he's in?
I think the most important thing for him, frankly, is that he enjoys having other guys around that enjoy having the spotlight. He'd just as soon prefer not to be that guy. And in L.A., you've got Kershaw, who's always going to be the ace. Greinke will never be number one in L.A., which he's fine with. You know, you've got Yasiel Puig, as we talked about this year. They've brought in guys like Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick. Certainly, Hyunjin Ryu has an international following. Kenley Jansen is one of the best closers in the majors. So he doesn't have to be that guy. And if he can find a comfortable situation without that, I think he'll take that into consideration. Because when he finished talking about not saying what he's going to do next year, he said a lot of things that were complimentary about the Dodgers and the organization and the coaches. And, you know, I don't think it's a matter of he hates it and he wants to get out, but it might just be his last best chance to cash in.
Bill, it was great to talk to you as always.
All right. Take care, Jeff.
It's Bill Shaken. He's a national baseball writer for the LA Times. And, yeah, the Zach Greinke, it's an interesting situation. 3 years, $71 million. And again, the pitchers on the market right now, or I should say on the market right now, the pitchers who are free agent eligible are Johnny Cueto, Jordan Zimmermann, Jeff Samardzija, and David Price. And to me, the guy, the market driver there is David Price. If, as some suspect, the Detroit Tigers are going to try to sign him to an extension and keep him off the market, and after losing Max Scherzer and Rick Porcello, you would, and sort of seeing Justin Verlander continue to age, which, I mean, every pitcher is going to age. If I'm the Detroit Tigers, I'm taking a really, really serious look at signing David Price. If all of a sudden David Price is off the market, now you've got Johnny Cueto, Jordan Zimmermann, Jeff Samardzija. If you're Zach Greinke, as Bill Shaken points out, this is your shot at free agency, or you have to wait till you're 35. You may end up taking it. And, it's like anything else when it comes to free agency in baseball. There's a lot of moving parts. The proverbial dominoes need to fall. It's a time of year where we get ready for spring training. Lots of national writers are weighing in on teams' off seasons. Kind of an odd off season because we're still waiting. We, being baseball people, are still waiting for that James Shields domino to fall. Hasn't yet. John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports reporting that James Shields has offers in hand and he's expected to make a decision by the end of the week. I guess there are some people out there who think the Blue Jays are players in this. The Blue Jays have kicked tires on him. We've been told they're doing due diligence on him, although I don't know what the hell you need to do due diligence on James Shields for. It seems to me at 33 years of age, you pretty much know what you're getting. You do see a deterioration in some of his stuff, especially his playoff performance last year would had to have raised some red flags. But by and large, I think you have a pretty good idea of what James Shields is about. Nonetheless, it is time where we do start weighing in on teams' off seasons. Cliff Corcoran is an MLB writer for SI.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Cliff Corcoran. He has put out his winter report cards. The Toronto Blue Jays gave them a B plus, applauding their aggressiveness. The Jays, of course, adding Josh Donaldson, Russell Martin, Michael Saunders, effectively overhauling a third of their starting lineup. Justin Smoke is going to factor in as well at first base. We're going to go to the phones and take your calls on your letter grade for the Blue Jays offseason of 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. But before we do that, we are very pleased to be joined by the aforementioned Cliff Corcoran. Cliff, great to talk to you today. And with the snow falling and the temperatures plummeting, it's great to talk baseball.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks for having me.
B-plus for the Blue Jays. And as you point out, really the one bit of unfinished business is the bullpen. And, you know, we've seen the Jays linked to Burke Badenhop, Francisco Rodriguez, Rafael Soriano. It really is the one area that Alex Anthopoulos hasn't addressed yet. Beyond that, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about it just when I was talking to Bill Shaken as well about the Dodgers. It's very seldom you see a major league team in this day and age essentially overhaul a third of its lineup, isn't it? A third of its everyday players.
It's really even more than that because, you know, they're probably going to have somebody in center field who's not Colby Rasmus, you know. Mm-hmm. Dalton Pompey is the guy I think they hope
that's true
that job. You've got Michael Saunders in left field. Really, you know, and in second base is, you know, you don't have Brett Lawrie spent a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you know, Macias Torres missed most of the season. Maybe Ryan Goins is going to get a chance there. You've got Reyes, Bautista, and Encarnacion. You've really only got a third of the lineup that's coming back. It's two-thirds of the lineup. You know, obviously, it's only a third that's new guys to the organization, but those are some big guys. Donaldson, Martin are huge additions. Both of them, Donaldson and Martin got the big money, and Donaldson has gotten the big MVP vote, so I'm not sure either of them can really be considered underrated. But at the same time, I'm still not sure people fully appreciate the impact those two guys can have. Martin, because he does a lot of it with the glove, a lot of it with, you know, pitch framing and throwing out runners and just all of his work behind the plate, in addition to being, for a catcher, an above-average hitter. He's not going to hit the way he did last year, but moving out of Pittsburgh and into Rogers Center is going to help him have a soft landing there from a spike season. And Donaldson just does almost everything. He doesn't run that well, but you know, hits for a lot of power. You know, 29 home runs in Oakland is a 30 home run season plus in Toronto, and really that should be the expectation for him. And outstanding defense. Just really fantastic. The plays I've seen him make at third base in the last couple of years are jaw-dropping. So those two guys are huge additions. In addition to, you know, and when you have Donaldson in the middle of the lineup with Encarnacion and Bautista, those are three devastating right-handed power hitters. So there's a lot to like about what they've done there, even if there are still question marks at second base and center field. Smoke could be a disaster at first base. He really hasn't shown much, you know, a big prospect. He was non-tendered by the Mariners. It will help again to get out of a bad ballpark into a good hitter's ballpark, but we shall see. You know, so it's really kind of fascinating.
In conversation with Cliff Corcoran of SI.com, I want to talk about the Jays bullpen in a minute, but I also, while I have him in the line, I want to talk about James Shields, even though I know the Jays have kicked tires on him, but I don't think anybody would expect the Jays to be a front runner for James Shields. The fact that he is still out there and unsigned at this stage, is that an example of market skepticism? Is an example of James Shields just being one of those guys, we run into him every now and then, who just, you know, wants to be in the right place, and money's great, but it's more important to be in the right place? Or might we see an agent who's kind of misplayed his hand here?
I think it might be a little bit of each of those. Part of it is age. Shields is 33. You know, the other big pitchers that Lester and Scherzer are 30, 31, and that tends to be the age when you're looking to lay out big money. When a guy gets into 33 or older, it limits that, you know, what teams are willing to spend in terms of years and in terms of money. Though supposedly he did have an offer for about $110 million, rumored to be an offer on the table for him earlier this season. The fact that he didn't take that suggests that maybe, yes, they're overplaying their hand, didn't realize what they had in that offer, that that might be the best he's going to see. I think at this point, he's not going to be breaking a nine-figure contract. It's going to be something smaller than that, you know, because most teams are settled with what they have, and it's now it kind of looks to be a buyer's market on James Shields. And also recently we've come, you know, finally some rumors are emerging finally on Shields this week. It's the fact that he wants to be near Southern California, however that works out for him. So there apparently is some preference there. We don't know where that $110 million offer was from. You know, very well could have been somewhere that he just didn't want to play there. And that's really, I find that admirable, actually. If a play, you know, the whole idea of free agency, going back to Curt Flood, is I want to be able to choose where I play. The idea behind free agency was never, I mean, part of it was certainly I want to be paid what I'm worth, what this industry can afford to pay me. But also, you know, I don't want you to be able to put me where you want me. I want to go where I want to go. So, and that's, I think that's an element too. So you're seeing all of that combined, but the result is that James Shields is not going to get the contract I think that he anticipated and that we anticipated for him coming into this offseason. And I think there is some skepticism about his age and about the number of innings he's got. I mean, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. James Shields is, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but ranks among the top two or three pitchers in innings pitched over the last five, six seasons, something like that. And that's very impressive and shows him as a workhorse, which is incredibly valuable. But how many miles does he have left? How many pitches, how many innings does he have left on his arm? He's pitched a ton recently, 127 innings last year, 228 last year, not counting postseason appearances. I mean, 250 innings in 2011. He hasn't been below 227 since 2010. So he's throwing a lot of innings for this era of baseball. And I think that adds to the skepticism as well.
In conversation with Cliff Corcoran of SI.com, where do you think the Jays go, shifting our focus back to the Jays, where do you think the Jays go for help at the back end of the bullpen? We've heard the names Burke Badenhop, Francisco Rodriguez, Rafael Soriano. They're still out there. What do you think the odds are that the Jays end up with one of those guys? And I mean, if it's Badenhop, to me, that suggests that Aaron Sanchez is your closer.
Or Aaron Sanchez could be your fifth starter. You know, I'm not quite sure exactly if you know something I don't, but my anticipation is that Aaron Sanchez is going to be in the rotation at some point. I mean, Badenhop's the guy that I think seems most likely to me out of that bunch. Francisco Rodriguez is a guy I think a lot of teams are wary of just because of, you know, personality things, off-field things. For whatever reason, the last three times he's become a free agent, he's wound up back in Milwaukee. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen a fourth time. It's kind of like the Giants re-signing all their players. It's a rather predictable result. It may not happen, but that's what I'm expecting. Soriano, I think, is a guy who he did lose the closer job with the Nationals at the end of last year, and he's older, so I think that will depress his – I mean, obviously it's depressed his market. He doesn't have a contract yet. But I think still because he's coming out of a closer situation, will likely be overpaid, even if it's a kind of last-minute contract. I think Badenhop is a guy whose value and his market kind of match up nicely, and he's not a big – you know, he's not going to demand anything resembling closer money, so he fits the Blue Jays' budget and kind of their needs. I could see – Brett Cecil being their closer. He's pitched well for them for the past couple years, really proved himself in their relief role. You know, and Badenhop coming in had a nice year last year, a few good years in a row, not a major impact arm, but a good end-game setup type. I think he's the guy I could see them going with out of that bunch. They're going to sign somebody. He's the guy I'd look for.
Cliff, it was good of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Cliff Corcoran, he is an MLB writer with SI.com. He's got his winter report card out right now. Gives the Blue Jays a B+. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Want to talk some baseball on a brutally cold winter day? This is the place to do it. You can weigh in on Twitter. Use the hashtag Blair Show. I'll ask you for your letter grade for the Toronto Blue Jays offseason. Cliff Corcoran says it's a B+. I'm leaning more towards a B. I like the acquisitions of Donaldson. I like the acquisitions of Martin. But I still don't think they've addressed the bullpen issue. You know, Josh Donaldson's a terrific player. I think he's going to be a real upgrade defensively and offensively over Brett Lowry. He's certainly going to hit for more power. I think Russ Martin's abilities defensively go without saying. But I have a real problem with this bullpen right now. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I've been the guy saying that there's a pretty good chance that, at least I think there's a pretty good chance that Aaron Sanchez is eventually, or not eventually, but that Aaron Sanchez will be the closer this year. But want to get your take on it at 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. SI.com gives the Blue Jays a B+ for their offseason. I give them a B. What's your take on it? This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Nothing here to say. All right, Cliff Corcoran of SI.com has given the Toronto Blue Jays a B+ for their offseason. You know, pointing to the acquisitions of Josh Donaldson and Russell Martin in particular. I've given them closer to a B because I still don't see an upgrade at second base. Devin Travis is just a prospect. And don't forget, Ryan Gomes was a prospect at one point, too. Don't see an upgrade at second base. Dalton Pompey in center. I don't know how much he's going to give me defensively. And I'm really not certain I want Justin Smoke to see a great deal of playing time. And the biggest issue, of course, as well, is the bullpen. And specifically the back end of the bullpen. There are people out there who think Brett Cecil can close. That's fine. I can tell you the manager doesn't look at him as being his first choice. And there are other people like myself who want to see Aaron Sanchez close. There are other people who think it's a total waste of Aaron Sanchez to have him close and not start. And there's still time for Alex Anthopoulos to make another move. Look, if he were to make a move and address the bullpen issue, I can see this thing going from a B to a B+ very easily. But I asked the question on Twitter. And most people, you know, there's a pretty good split here. Ian Carey, if you said they get Donaldson Martin back in October, not many would have believed that, so B+ for sure. Josh Southcombe, I give them an F because, yeah, they got great pieces, but they haven't finished the job again. Matthew E., they had problems to solve and only solved one of them, left field with Saunders. Second base, starting pitching, relief pitching, DH, center field, still problems. A lot of people agreeing that it's closer to a B than a B+. And a lot of people pointing out that they still haven't addressed issues they had at the end of the offseason. They've improved at two positions that we didn't necessarily expect the Jays to look at improving it. The end of the season, I think most of us thought Brett Lowry would either be at third base or at second base. And DeAndre Navarro would be behind the plate. I mean, the only new guy who is filling a position of need is Michael Saunders. And that's a bit of a roll of the dice as well. John in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, SI.com has given the Jays a B+ for their offseason. I think it's closer to a B. What do you think?
I think it's closer to a C, maybe even a C-, and not because of Ryan Goins, according to Travis, but more because they lost their two best pure hitters. Adam Lind and Melky Cabrera.
Okay, Cabrera, I agree with. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I also like Adam Lind a lot because he places the ball, unlike most of the other hitters who just sort of go up there and hit home runs. So the replacements for the guys they have are excellent, actually.
I guess. They improved at positions they didn't really need to improve at, as you mentioned, and they didn't address one single arm. Like, getting that guy from Milwaukee, I don't even know if he'll make the team.
Oh, yeah, Estrada will make the team, but, I mean, he's certainly not an impact arm. He could be Carlos Villanueva.
He'll be okay, but that's all he'll be. He'll be just a guy that maybe sucks a minute. But, again, they haven't, you know, the other thing is all those moves were all payroll-driven. And that's what really gets under my skin. And
how are they? You're going to have to tell me how signing a catcher to an $80 million payroll is payroll driven, or an $80 million.
How much is he going to make next year?
It's backloaded. It's a dead.
That's right. So they're going to trade that contract off in another couple of years. Come on.
What?
You know?
You're going to, no, okay, hang on here. Hang on here.
Talk about
they're
going to
trade.
Martin.
They're going to trade the backloaded contract in the next couple of years.
I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is how they haven't addressed any of the needs that were so blatantly obvious. Bullpen, starting rotation, and replacing a player who, it's not that I don't like Russell Martin, but Navarro did a pretty good job last year.
Yeah, Navarro's nowhere near. Navarro's not a third the defensive catcher that Russell Martin is. I don't get your point about Adam Lind placing the ball. I like guys who place the ball in the freaking seats. Hopefully you're not one of those guys that thinks home runs ruin rallies. It's really early to deal with that. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff. How's it going?
Good, man.
I have a couple of comments. My first one would be, of course, the report card. I would give it a B as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you get a guy like Russell Martin, who's great at handling, you know, the young pitchers, the way he did in Pittsburgh, that really speaks for itself. And Josh Donaldson bringing him in, you know, a guy can play defense and, you know, hit the ball. And furthermore, they brought those two guys in because between the two of them, they've been to the postseason five times, 3 for Donaldson, 2 for Martin. Between, you know, in those years.
They haven't won much in the postseason, but they have been there.
Yeah, so and that's why that we brought him in to make the playoffs, because they've been there. Now, Russell Martin leads me to my second comment. If I had to ask Alex Anthopoulos of the State of the Franchise, should you try somebody else to be, you know, the starting pitcher on opening day instead of R.A. Dickey, I would ask him that. And my pick would be Marcus Stroman, because you have Martin who has great at framing pitches, and in this magazine that I have with me, the Sporting News, they put out their top 10 candidates who will break out, and number 2 on the list is Marcus Stroman. So I think maybe you should try him to be the opening day starter, knowing that Martin can frame pitches and how Stroman, you know, was very good out of the young core that we had last year for the starting five.
Yeah, I'm not certain I'm not certain I'm all that worked up about who is the opening day starter. I think Stroman clearly has, I think has ace potential, but I'm not entirely certain that, that it's really gonna matter who's the opening day starter. But you're right, Martin. Martin should allow these guys to work down in the zone a little more. Adam and Shelburne, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What offseason grade do you give the Blue Jays?
Incomplete.
Okay, tell me why.
Mostly because they are incomplete right now. But first, Jeff, I want to thank you for giving me tickets to go see Green Bay and Buffalo.
Huh.
Pretty fun.
Oh, great. Who won that game? I can't even remember. Is that a Buffalo win? Awesome. Yeah. Glad you had fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a great time, so I appreciate that.
No one urinated on you in the parking lot, eh?
No.
Okay, that's my memory of...
Maybe if they saw the Leafs tattoo, they would have.
No, that's a memory I have of Ralph Wilson Stadium. That kind of soured my existence when I was walking through the parking lot in a way to cover the game, and some guy jumped up in the back of a pickup truck and started to urinate on 3 people. That was my sort of experience with Buffalo tailgating.
Nice. That sounds like fun. Anyways, back to the Jays.
Yes.
I like
Pompeo out in center field. I like them giving him the chance. My main concern, other than the bullpen, which is a huge concern, is second base, because Travis is, you know, got no experience, and Goins can't really hit, but his defense is good. My question to you is, what about bringing in somebody like Ricky Weeks?
For whatever reason, they're just not sold in Ricky Weeks. And I've got to admit, I haven't watched him play enough. I think we can operate under the assumption that they're watching their pennies right now. If they're watching their pennies, I'd rather they address the bullpen first. And then maybe go after it. But, you know, the sense I'm getting is that they're just not that thrilled with the idea of Ricky Weeks. And this might have been out there before. But, you know, the thing you got to remember is there's always a danger in kind of picking the name guy. Just because a guy has a bit of a name and a bit of a track record doesn't necessarily mean that he's your best option out there. Gordon Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You might be the optimist beyond all optimists. You're giving the Jays an A+.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell me why.
I think every move Anthopoulos has made since coming here has been, you can't turn it down. You have to make those moves. And he's made smart baseball moves, and he's improved the team no matter what. When you have a draft, you draft over first overall. You're going to pick the best player, or you're going to pick what you need for that team. You don't know how your team's going to look in 2 years. Maybe that player is irrelevant. The results weren't there, but it was the right moves to make. And I think this year, with what he's done, he's brought in Donaldson and Martin, and even Saunders, who I think is going to be a sleeper, have been great moves.
I think Saunders, I mean, the one thing about Saunders is I think this ballpark might help him a little bit offensively. I like the Donaldson and Martin moves, and I'm not going to sit here and say they're not necessarily an upgrade over what you had. Clearly they are. But I guess the question is, you upgrade at positions you weren't entirely certain you needed an upgrade at, and there are still other positions in this team you knew you needed an upgrade at, and you haven't upgraded at those positions. I don't know if that constitutes a great offseason. Your point is terrific, though, about the trades at the time. And that's why, you know, people who go back and hammer Alex for that deal with the Marlins and hammer Alex for the Dickey deal, that's fine. If you were hammering him for those deals back then in some ways, you know, your argument was legitimate. I mean, it depends on how you view the value of prospects. I'm not entirely certain, as I've said, Noah Syndergaard is going to end up being everything everybody thinks he is. But that's fine. You can have that debate over whether or not you review prospects. But to sit there and say now that, well, Alex sucked at this deal and that deal when we were praising him at the time, which, and I was praising him for that Marlins deal. I can't go back and say, you know what, I don't know if I'd rather, I don't know if Alex would want a redo. You really can't. Steve in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Honestly, I'd have to give these guys C+, B- maximum.
Okay.
I mean, the biggest problem here, when you're looking at the team, the offense is fine. The defense will probably be okay. The bullpen, McCowan says it all the time, a lot of times you're doing with fail starters and young kids, and we'll see what happens there. But let's be honest. Look at the pitching staff. This has been a problem for a long time. Burley's not a front of the rotation guy. Neither is Dickey. They're going to eat up innings. Excellent. However, the three kids, the whole league's seen them now. Going to be a bit of a difference.
You know what? I got to tell you, someone else had mentioned that, and I kind of disagree with that because I think Hutchison and Stroman are advanced enough and their stuff is good enough that, yeah, the league's seen them. But they've already made adjustments along the way. Hutchison made a couple of adjustments last year that people don't necessarily give him credit for. I would urge you to go on FanGraphs, which is a great website, and find the study they did in Drew Hutchison, the report they did in Drew Hutchison, and take a look at that. And it was how essentially he'd changed a few things, and I'm not certain the league is going to quote unquote catch up with those guys. I think their stuff is such that they'll be able to stay ahead of the league. But and your point's well taken. I would have loved to have seen another arm in here, whether it's a starter or a reliever. I would love to have seen another arm in here. It was great to talk baseball today. I'm taking a look behind me. It appears as if it stopped snowing, but I know for sure it's cold. We'll have more baseball talk tomorrow. State of the franchise. We've got Jerry Howarth in studio for the whole hour tomorrow, the hour of Howarth from 10 to 11. And I got something special planned for you at 9 o'clock as well. You'll have to check it out on Twitter later. Hockey Central's next. Have a great day, everybody.